So hi, hello and welcome, Mr. Kim here, and today in this episode I want to talk about the extended essay research question, I'm going to try to help you a little bit narrow down your research question, and I'm going to tell you a trick or two maybe to help you evaluate whether the research question that you have is a good one or if it's not such a good one, okay? So let me start the very basics. Finding a research question is, of course, once you know in which subject you're going to write it, finding a research question generally is one of the first big challenges and difficulties that students have before they actually start writing the extended essay. And what happens is the following is you have to first choose a general topic. You have a subject. Yeah, you choose the subject, you're allocated to a supervisor, and then you choose a general topic. And within this general topic, you have to choose a specific research question. Finding a topic can already be challenging, but generally, yeah, that's not such a big problem because students sometimes already have a general idea what they're interested in. But then finding a specific research question can be a challenge. And I tell you, it should be a challenge. Because you actually get points for this. This is part of the difficulty of writing the essay. So you see, writing the extended essay, you don't only get points for actually writing the essay, but also for documenting a little bit the process of the difficulty that you had in finding a research question, maybe also how you overcame this problem. What I would like to do in this episode is I want to talk specifically about the research question and to see if help you a little bit to decide whether your research question is a good one or a bad one. And what I'm going to do is the following. I'm going to give you again a couple of examples and a couple of stories, real life stories that I encountered with some students a few years ago, many years ago, over the course of me being a teacher here in the school. And I simply wanted to tell you, simply illustrate this a little bit with what students were confronted with and why the research questions were kind of bad. So I'm not making this up again. These are real questions that I had with students. So several years ago, there was this. This was 2008 or 2009. Wow, over 10 years ago. I remember because this was during the first. It was a big financial crisis in many parts of the world, and this one student actually came up to me and asked me. She says, "I want to write my extended essay in economics," and said, "I'm not an economics teacher." But okay, yeah, what help can I give you? And she says, "Yeah, Mr. Kim, I'm writing mine in economics, and I would like my research question is what is the impact of the economic crisis? We're just in the economic crisis. What is the impact of the economic crisis on my home country of Nigeria? Mr. Kim, is this a good research question?" And then I said the following. He says, "What are you going to do? Are you going to fly to Nigeria now and interview the finance minister? How do you want to find that out? I mean, we're just right now in the economic crisis. You're not going to find any material on it, okay? Because we're just right in it, yeah? It just started, so to say, yeah? So what are you going to do to answer the question, yeah? See, not possible, yeah? So this is the thing. And even if it were to answer, man, the impact of the world, the economic crisis on a country, on the economy of a country, I mean, you can write books on that, books and books and books, if you're able to find even the data, yeah? It's way too huge, the question way too huge, and not possible to answer it, because what are you going to do? How are you going to answer it, yeah? So that's basically were already two problems with that. There were two problems with that, okay? So first case, second example. The second example is also a correct one. These days we have the corona problem, the corona crisis, but many years ago in some countries of the world there was another virus problem called Ebola. It's a hemorrhagic fever, highly infective, very deadly, not nice. And this was in the media. Okay? And the student came up to me and says, "Yeah, Mr. Kim, is it okay? I want to write about Ebola." So it wasn't even a research question, but he said, "I want to write about Ebola. Can I do that? That's my topic." And I said, "Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to catch the virus and do experiments on human beings? Is this what you're going to do? Because in biology and the natural sciences, you have to do an experiment. What experiment are you going to do? You cannot do an experiment." Yeah. So you see, it doesn't work here as well. So what I'm trying to say here is when you come up with a research question, as difficult as it might be, and people are struggling with that, at the same time, always ask yourself, how do I intend to answer the question? I'm not asking here for a specific method now, but is there even a possibility to answer the question? What are you going to do? Are you going to interview people? Are you going to do an experiment? Which experiment? Do you have the equipment? Are you going to do some library research? Do you even have the books available? So this is basically something that I recommend, that you always, when you come up with a research question, at the same time, think about some possible strategy or strategies on how you could answer the research question. And that is my first important advice, and it is the first important quality check. Because if you can do that, if you have some kind of a method to answer the research question, then you've already eliminated a huge number of other non-suitable research questions that you cannot talk about. Because there's nothing worse than if you're stuck with a research question and you don't know how to answer it. Because don't forget one thing, in the extended essay, it's not about researching stuff and then summarizing it, but it's about researching stuff and then using this researched material to come up with your own answer. Okay, it's not just a summary of other stuff, other people's stuff. It's the extended essay is your own answer that you base on your research or on your experiments. So this is the very first, very important thing. And then once you have that, you have a research question, you have a topic and you have a research question, then what you're going to do is you, believe it or not, you can already start to write the first page of your extended essay. Can you believe that? Because what you're going to do is you're going to explain how you actually arrived at the research question. It doesn't have to be very long. Can be just a couple of lines long. You explain the relevancy of the research question. Why is it important? Why is it important for you? Why is it important generally for the subject? Has it not already been studied before? And to have some kind of a personal connection is very, very good. Some people, students immediately ask, well, can I use the pronoun I? Okay, I have chosen this research question because those two books are from different authors that have never been compared, whatever. Can I use I? And I says, of course you can. And I know that you have learned that in formal essay writing, using I is not always considered to be a very good style. I get it. It is okay. It's okay because you still will use a formal language, but it is possible to use I. I'm just saying that. You don't want to overuse it maybe, but and you definitely want to stay formal, but it is okay. I came up with this research question because why not? And if you don't like to use I, then just switch it into passive voice. It's a style issue. I'm just trying to say here that maybe it's not even such a bad idea to use I, because it kind of forces you to self-reflect a little bit on the whole thing and to find this personal connection. And that's since I'm not completely against using the pronoun I. You see, then some people write, well, I have always been interested in, I don't know, That's kind of a very shallow way of describing it. But I remember this one student who also did well. It happened to be, I think, a drama, a theater arts, a extended essay. She says, we've learned in school about certain plays, and I saw now at Landestheater in Linz, they were also playing a play with a similar theme, and I wanted to now see if there's some kind of a connection. And I says, because this is something which I consider personally then interesting. I said, wow, cool. Now at least you justified it, why it's interesting. And you also made it clear why it's worthy of investigation. Because it's a completely new play that has never been performed. And I now would like to analyze it also based on certain criteria, because this way I can make a cross link to the things that I learned in school. That is also a justification. And it's also an explanation of why it is important. And I tell you why some students have such a big problem with that. This is because in many cases, students are just happy that they have found any kind of research question. And you're just happy that you found anything to write about. And all of a sudden, you're supposed to say why it's important. And in reality, I don't know. You know what? That's where you get points for. So the work that you put in to properly justify, and I'm not saying you have to write a lot, a couple of lines, okay? But the work that you put in there in justifying why the research question is worthy of investigation, simply being creative and doing that, then is fine, yeah? So that's what you get points for. And a few years ago, I had students say, yeah, but does it mean that we have to invent something? Of course, why not? I mean, you're not lying, are you? Yeah? What do you mean invent? You know, I'm just saying invent sounds like you're faking something. No, you're not. You sit down and you come up with a good reason. If you want to call this invent something, yes. Yeah? You come up with an idea of why a certain research question is important. Yeah. And what I'm trying to say here is that you see, you can already write maybe, I don't know, almost a page just on that. How did you come up with a research question and the topic? Why is it important for investigation? Maybe for yourself and for the subject. And next thing, believe it or not, what strategy are you going to use to answer it? What are you going to do? Are you going to compare two books? And some students, yeah, I'm going to compare those two books. If they do it, for example, in some kind of literature. Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm going to find quotes. Oh, of course you're going to find quotes. Which quotes are you going to look for? It's almost like saying in biology, oh, I'm going to do an experiment. Yeah, of course you're going to do an experiment. You have to. I mean, it's, yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah. And so this is one thing. That the next thing is where you actually write a paragraph to explain your intended strategy. What are you going to do? And many people don't like that because they think that a method or is only something for the natural sciences. But it can also apply to other subjects. It has to apply to other subjects as well. So even if you write it in arts and you compare paintings, then what are you going to do? What are you going to compare? You're going to compare the color? Are you going to compare the style? Are you going to compare? What are you going to compare? Yeah? What are you going to look for? Explain this a little bit. Yeah. So this is essentially, you can see if you've already made, if you've got already ideas like this, you can already write this down. I'm not saying that you have to now write an essay, but even if you have bullet points, that's already quite a lot. Yeah. And this way, you already have a significant part of your introduction ready and finished. You've almost, I don't know, 20% of the essay, maybe, or 15% you can already write without even having started to collect data. You write down how you got to the research question, why it is important, why is it worthy of studying, of investigation, what methods are you going to use, maybe what methods have you considered and are not using. Another thing that they ask is, what sources are you going to use? Justify your sources. Why are you using those sources and not others? Yeah. And you see, actually, honestly, once you got the research question, and if it's approved, you can already sit down and you can actually not just one page, you can already maybe write two pages or three pages even. Because that's then the introduction part. And then later on, when you've got the strategy, you now know what to do, you have some kind of a goal and a vision into the direction that you want to go, and then you start actually doing the experiment, collecting data, reading the material, finding quotes in books, if this is what you want to do, okay? Comparing the paintings, if you want to compare paintings. Whatever it is, it depends from subject to subject. Interview the people, if this is what you want to do. Yeah? Compiling questionnaires, if it's based on a questionnaire. And then you can actually know already what to do, and then you're going to realize sooner or later, well, maybe my research question has to be refined, because you all of a sudden you discover that some of the things are not quite as you expected, or you found a more interesting aspect, still belonging to the same topic, but maybe you have to modify the research question a little bit. That's okay. Okay, for the VWA Datenbank, just be careful. You're not allowed to change the topic, das Thema. But the detailed research questions, the Leitfragen, there is flexibility here. And if you feel, okay, I have to modify this a little bit, then that's okay. Okay, that's actually quite commonly done. Yeah? But what I want to make clear here is that you can already relatively at the beginning, you can already start to work and to actually write it down, because this is really important, because this gives you some kind of a guideline on what direction you actually want to take the essay. And as again, I'm saying, you have basically just spent a couple of days thinking about it, and you already have essentially a part of the extended essay finished. And actually, you have not even started yet. with the research and all of the details. Yeah? So this is really something that I would recommend. And because it's so important, I've made already a checklist of this, which you can download, which I highly encourage you that you actually use. And this checklist is based, of course, on the assessment criteria. And if you use this checklist, and if you got most of the points on the checklist, then you're really on the right track. Nothing can go so wrong. I do want to step you through the whole process again, or some of the things, this first part of the checklist a little bit, because it's so important. Again, research question, you explain the topic and the research question, why it is important, how you intend to answer it, what method are you going to use, maybe what methods are you not going to use, what sources are you using, and then possibly, why not give it away, maybe what you expect the outcome to be, why not? I intend to show that, or I want, yeah, and I think that this might be the outcome. Why not? Yeah, if it turns out to be like that, great. If not, then you're going to say, well, actually, I thought I was able to show that, but actually it didn't work, or I was able not to show that. That's okay. Yeah, that's good, you know. You get points for these things, yeah. So this is something that I really would like to encourage you that you do, and that you kind of structure your essay a little bit, because of what students sometimes are worried about is, oh my God, there's so many words to write and I don't know where to start. And then they sit down on the computer and they start researching and they start summarizing that what they already found. But that's not the point, yeah. Have a strategy called divide and conquer. Divide and conquer means if you have a large problem in front of you, you chop it up into subsections, into subparts, and then you conquer each part separately. And the introduction that I just mentioned, I mean, you chop it up into different parts. You write a paragraph on the topic and the research question on how you got there. You write a paragraph on why it's important, this research question, maybe for you or for the field and the subject. Okay, you write a paragraph on what methods you intend to use or not use. You write a paragraph on which sources you want to use or not use. To give you an example, it's also I've not made it up talking about the sources. It just came into my mind. Actually, this is right. I chose these books because these were the only ones I could find on Amazon. I'm serious. This was the justification of sources. Yeah, and the authors are experts in their field. Oh, really? And these were the only ones that I could find on Amazon. This was the justification. I believe it. Maybe a really honest justification even. But come on, then sit down a little bit and explain a little bit more of why you think that those sources are good ones. Not just because these were the only ones I could find. Do they talk about specific aspects that other books do not talk about? Whatever. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say here is that you do get a lot of points simply for being a little bit creative here and also communicating it on paper. Yeah. And last but not least, do not forget one thing. And this is something where many students are feeling a little bit upset. And I just want to tell you why this is the case. Some people put in a lot of work into the extended essay, into studying and on the test and internal assessments. It doesn't matter. They put in a lot of work. And essentially then they're really disappointed, of course, if the result is not that what they expected to be. They put in a lot of work, they get a bad result. Yeah. And then they're disappointed, of course, because they think that they deserve a good grade or good points because they put in so much work, right? This is kind of the idea. But you're not getting the points alone on how much work you put in. You're getting the points on what you've actually written on the paper, because I don't know how much work you put in. The examiner just sees that what is on paper. Yeah. And if you have all the very good reasons of why the research question is important to you, it might all be, but if you don't write it down, then you're not going to get the points. If you have the best method in your head, okay, and you know exactly what to do, and it's really, you spend a lot of time thinking about the method, how to answer the research question, and you've got it all sorted out. But if you don't write it down, you're not going to get the points. I'm honest, I'm serious about this, and that's why you have those assessment criteria. They actually say it, okay? You put down the method, yeah? And the students think that because they've got a cool method, that alone is enough. No, if you don't tell me what your method is, I cannot give you points for it. You have to write it down in your essay. It could be the coolest and the most important research question that you have. I believe you. But if you don't write it down, I cannot give you the points. It's really that simple. Yeah. For example, the in the assessment criteria, it also says is that the research question must be presented in the early part of the essay. Not just on page 3 or 4 or 5, but the research question must be presented in the early part of the essay. What do students do? They don't present it at all because they think they don't have to do it because it's written on the title page. Oh my gosh, come on. Why do you do that? Yeah, it's on the title page. No, come on, no. How do you want to talk about the, how do you want to talk about the research question if you don't even mention it? Okay, so what actually some students have done in the past, and I think that's a good idea, is that right already in the first paragraph somewhere, they've actually written down, and therefore my research question is, and then they put it in fat and bold and italics in the center of the page. Here, this is it. This research question is important because. Not just, oh, it's interesting to me. No, give me a little more substance. Yeah. I intend to answer the research question by doing the following. And then you give a rough outline on what you intend to do. I will need the following sources. And then you list the sources. I've chosen these sources because. And don't say because these were the only ones I found on Amazon. Okay, but justify this. And this way you already have your, what am I saying, not the first page. You've already got the first 2 pages of the essay finished. Yeah, a significant part. So this is kind of the thing that I want to say here a little bit is that there is a, and it goes on like this, by the way, yeah? There's a very clear expectations, a very clear structure, and you simply have to fulfill the checklist. And for each checklist point, just write a stupid paragraph. That's really the recommendation that I have. And students lose points and do badly very often, not because the essay is bad, but simply because they leave out so many things. Yeah, they don't explain me, why is it relevant? Come on, is it so difficult? Just give me 5 lines, 2 sentences. Why is your research question important for investigation, for you? If you don't even tell me? Yeah. So this is the point that I'm trying to make here is to encourage you and actually to give you the reassurance. It's not difficult. All you got to do is you got to go down the checklist and complete the checklist. And still, many students don't do that. And I'm going to make a separate episode with all of the big problems that I've seen in the past. And one of the big problems is, I can tell you right away, that students don't do that, what the IB or the checklist requires them, but they start simply to type and they give background information and they write 3 pages of irrelevant background information and ask you, but you write a background information and then you don't tell me why your research question is important. You don't talk anything about the method. You don't talk anything about the sources, which is all required in the criteria. And you're giving me completely irrelevant background information, a Wikipedia summary, in other words, which doesn't even talk about the research question. Why did you do that? Yeah, I have to include this so that the reader understands what I'm writing about. Come on, no. The reader, you don't have to teach the reader. You don't have to teach the reader. The reader, the extended essay should be written in such a way that any reasonable reader who has a basic knowledge of the material understands it. I've seen essays, really, people, they were kind of summarizing just teaching material. The teachers were teaching. We're just summarizing this. Why do you do that? Yeah, it's not relevant unless you make a connection, but you didn't. They didn't. Yeah. So I'm going to give you another. I'm going to give you another story here. The podcast is storytelling time. Okay. So I'm going to give you another last example here. Also a true story. Many years of teaching in school have taught me quite a bit. Many stories. So many years ago, again, a student came up to me. And with a pretty finished draft of the extended essay, and she told me, "Mr. Kim, just read this here. I think it was a psychology or visual arts extended essay. I think it was visual arts." And she told me, "Mr. Kim, can you just read the introduction here? There's something wrong here, and I don't know what it is." So you know, she already had this intuitive feeling that something is wrong here, but she could not really pinpoint it. She didn't know what it is. And I immediately knew it. Yeah, it was like this. I have to tell you a little bit the research question. It was a little bit is to what extent or how are the paintings of Salvador Dali, he's a surrealist painter, maybe you've already seen his paintings of a clock that starts to melt. Maybe you've already seen paintings like a painting like this. Okay, yeah. How does the paintings of Salvador Dali, the surrealist paintings, how are they connected to dreams of Sigmund Freud's dream analysis? Sigmund Freud was a psychologist, yeah. So he tried to make this interesting connection between the paintings and psychoanalysis, psychology. Interesting topic, okay? It doesn't matter. She basically said, there's something wrong in the introduction. Can you please read this? And I read it, and she has written, I'm not making this up, one page of the biography of Sigmund Freud, psychologist, and one page of the biography of Salvador Dali, just about their life. And I said, you've written a biography here, but what does this have to do with your research question? It's completely irrelevant. It's just their life. But don't you want to compare the paintings with the dreams? That's what you want to do. You don't want to talk about the biography of the two people, of where they were born and what they've done. Who cares about that? And then she says, oh my gosh, yes, that's it. Thank you, Mr. Kim. I didn't, yeah, of course. Yeah. She immediately then basically says, yeah, of course, that was the thing. She had this funny feeling, there's something wrong here, it doesn't fit in here. But she could not really pinpoint it. And then I told her, yeah, it's not relevant. So why did she write it in the first place? Because I tell you why. Because people start to, yeah, I don't know much about Salvador Dali. I don't know much about Sigmund Freud. Yeah, I just want to compare the paintings and the dream, like psychoanalysis stuff. So let's find something out about who they were. I mean, it's a normal thing that you do, right? And then she started to read that, and then she started summarizing this stuff, even though it's completely irrelevant. It was just some for personal background information, yeah? But it's not relevant for the research question. And this is so, so easily done, and so many people do that. I'm not making this up. I can show you examples. Students have written 18 pages, and 9 of these pages are totally irrelevant. I said, just you could have saved the time to write and research 9 pages. Because it's not even remotely related. And nothing to do with a research question. Just some kind of a weird summary of stuff that's not even related to the research question. Yeah, it's so easy to do. And I tell you why this is so easy to do. This is because this is what we teachers have been teaching you up to this point. We go out and we give you a topic, research the human brain or the heart or some kind of, I don't know, some country in the world or some kind of a topic. And then you go out, you research the stuff and you summarize it. That's what you've been doing for many years, okay? And this is kind of the mindset that many people have. And then all of a sudden, you are supposed to research something, but you're supposed to answer it yourself and not let somebody else answer it for you. Yeah, and that is the challenge a little bit, that you have to rethink. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you've typed 5 pages, and then you realize all of a sudden, oh my gosh, those 5 pages are actually not relevant to my research question. And then you kind of are afraid of hitting the delete button, but even though that's actually what you should have done. Yeah, because that kind of hurts. Yeah, you spend, I don't know, hours and hours of writing, and then you realize, oh my gosh, actually it's not relevant. Actually, I have to delete it. Yeah. So the suggestion that I have in this case is you don't delete it, you just copy paste it to a different document so that you don't feel too bad about it. But ultimately you got to rewrite this part. Yeah. And it would be much better to avoid it right from the beginning so that you don't end up wasting time on parts that actually are not relevant. Yeah, I think now I've told you enough stories and I've been sidetracking a lot again. And yeah, I just wish you all the best and yeah, see you around next time. Bye-bye.